This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me tonight, Friday, 7 p.m. to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gotsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, the Hardball Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees. You can find us on Instagram at Locked On Yankees. And you can find me on Twitter at StaceGots. And on Locker Room at Stace Gotts. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. We will be recapping the road trip. Not entirely, but we'll be talking about how successful the road trip was. We'll recap yesterday's win in Texas. It was a nice ending to the road trip. And then we will preview the matchups for this weekend's home series against the White Sox. Plus, there's other baseball stuff to talk about that's not necessarily Yankee related. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. So before the road trip, I said I would be happy with 6-4. I was trying not to set a lofty goal. I said I would be very happy with 7-3, and I would be thrilled with 8-2. So I ended up being very happy with a 7-3 10-game road trip. Not too shabby. The Yankees have been playing well, although for them, the pitching has been the story more than the offense. We'll get into that in a little bit. But a 10-game road trip, and you play games in Tropicana Field. Those are always hellish. They won 2 out of 3 there. Of course, they ended it on a bad note, but you had Gerrit Cole's fantastic outing. Then they win 2 out of 3 in Baltimore. That series ended on a sour note simply because they should have won that game on Sunday. They really should have. I'll keep saying it. They should have won that game on Sunday. There's no business. They had no business losing a game that they were winning 4-0 and 5-2. Not against Baltimore. No. Sorry. And then in Texas, of all people to have a horrible start, Gerrit Cole. And he's the one who loses the lone game out of 4. In Texas, Jameson Taillon didn't pitch that well, but the offense picked him up. Then we had Corey Kluber's no-hitter. And then Domingo Germán. He pitched really well last night. Although, to be fair, Dane Dunnings also pitched well for Texas, and the Yankees couldn't do anything until he left the game. It was very similar to the game Kluber pitched, because his opponent was someone that the Yankees had never faced, and they didn't know what to do with him. So, yeah, the pitching was good for the Yankees. The offense was kind of iffy there at the end. So hopefully they will pick things up against the White Sox this weekend. Speaking of the White Sox, oh, this was a big controversy this week. Okay, the White Sox are playing the Twins, and they're beating up on the Twins. And I will say this, my brother has been advocating for a mercy rule in MLB for a long time. And he says he wants to base it, I believe, on the college mercy rules, if I'm not mistaken. There are certain numbers that he says, if a team reaches a certain run threshold at that point, there's usually not a chance in hell that the other team will ever catch up to them. And he thinks it's ridiculous that teams are forced to finish out games that they're losing by 11 runs. Like, even say yesterday, I believe the Reds lost to the Giants 19-4. And it was I think it was 15-4 in the fifth inning. So they should have just ended that game. Anyway, what happened in the White Sox-Twins game was that the White Sox were beating up so badly on the Twins that the Twins put a position player in to pitch. Yermín Mercedes, who, he's one of the guys who's leading the White Sox to one of the better records in the league. you know, they're doing well in the Central. And, you know, the first month of the season, he was hitting the ball like crazy. It was a 3-0 count with a position player pitching. The team is already up by a lot of runs, and he hit a home run. Now, the Twins didn't seem to like that. And all this talk about unwritten rules started popping up. But what was worse, or what was made worse about the situation, is that White Sox manager Tony La Russa threw his own player under the bus for hitting that home run. So this caused a whole controversy in itself. Then, the next day, Tyler Duffy threw at Mercedes. Now he's suspended and Rocco Baldelli is suspended. So, not even that. Tony La Russa didn't see anything wrong with the Twins throwing at Mercedes. So once again, he threw his player under the bus. This elicited a lot of responses from people. My favorite being CeCe Sabathia on the R2C2 podcast. Now, on the Locked On podcast, we're not really supposed to curse. And you don't want me cursing, right? You don't want me dropping F-bombs every 5 seconds. No one wants to listen to that on a podcast, unless you're CeCe Sabathia. He went off on Tony La Russa yesterday. Was it yesterday? I think that's when the clip came out. It was amazing. Every other word was F and S, and that's just the way CeCe talks, but he was fired up, and he even mentioned to Ryan Rucco, he said, "I told you, they shouldn't have hired him in the first place. He's too old school. He's out of touch. He doesn't know what he's talking about, and this is a prime example." So there were some people who were agreeing with it being bad that Mercedes did that on a 3-0 count, being up by so many runs. And then CeCe said, hey, play better. Make it so you're not losing by so many runs and that you have to use a position player. Because he said, if I was a hitter and a position player was pitching to me, I would be teeing it off every time, no matter what the score. And it's true. I mean, the whole unwritten rules thing is so silly. And throwing at someone is silly for that. Honestly, can they stop doing that? Someone's seriously going to get hurt, whether it's from getting hit or from that person charging the mound, people getting injured in a brawl because they have to be manly men. They can't let things go. It's just ridiculous. I think CeCe's right. If you're going to get mad about a team beating up on you, play better. If you can't play better, then suck it up, because the other team wants to win. Mercedes is one of those players. He's not on a big contract. He's playing to make money. He's playing to drive up his stats. He's not stupid. And you would do the same thing if you were a baseball player, a young baseball player who hasn't been able to make that much money yet. I mean, obviously compared to most of us, he's making money, but you know what I mean. He's trying to get that big contract eventually, so he wants his stats to be big and high, or he wants his stats to be high. Why did I bring this up? Because the Yankees will be playing the White Sox this weekend, so who knows if there's going to be any kind of shenanigans. In a moment, I'll recap the road trip finale in Texas yesterday afternoon, but first, investing can be complicated. But whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 0.25 advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's WEALTHFORNT.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. So let's discuss yesterday afternoon's game in Texas, in which the Yankees had trouble hitting the ball until the latter innings, which is a theme for them, apparently, when they play in Texas. Who knew? So anyway, I mean, it was a good game by Domingo Germán. And hitting-wise, the Yankees had 8 hits, 2 runs. Took them a while to get going and score those 2 runs. But the hits were scattered about. So Gardner had 2, Torres had 1, Sanchez had 1, Ford had 1, Urshela pinch hit had 1, that was a big one, Andujar had 1, Judge had 1, another big one, his first pinch hit RBI, I believe, which is almost as amazing as Tyler Wade's triple the other night. So yeah, you know, big moments for the Yankees in the last 2 games, aside from, you know, that pesky no-hitter. Anyway, so Domingo Germán, 7 innings, 6 hits, 5 strikeouts. I will say I was impressed that he did not have any walks, because some of the balls he threw, meaning balls that, you know, pitches that ended up as balls, were really out of the zone. There were a couple times I got a little worried for him that I thought he was losing his control. But, you know, I mean, 7 innings, no walks, and 5 strikeouts is pretty amazing. So, you know, Kluber and Germán ended the Texas series on very high notes. So as for what happened in the game, because that's important as well, the Yankees did not score, as I said earlier, until the 7th, because that was when Dane Dunning left the game. He stymied them all afternoon. And Dane Dunning is another dude with glasses who pitches for the Texas Rangers. So anyway, Gio Urshela pinch hit, got that big hit. Aaron Judge pinch hit, got that big hit. Gio Urshela scored, I believe that was Odor, right? Yes. And it was against when they brought in John King, who I don't know who John King is, but he was born on September 14th, 1994. I could probably remember what I was wearing that day. I know where I was. I was at RCC. If it was a weekday. If it was a weekend, I could have been at the Limelight. So who knows? Anyway, the Yankees end the road trip on a high note, pitching-wise. Offensively, sure, because of those pinch hits, but the offense was stymied a bit the last 2 games. And that's slightly scary, but hopefully they'll pick things up against the White Sox. But here's another thing I'd like to discuss, because I have such a problem with this. And I know it's silly. And it wasn't as if the Yankees were going for a sweep this time, because they lost the first matchup. But the lineup yesterday, I understand he wanted to give Judge a break, I guess, but because they don't have an off day till Monday. LeMahieu, Gardner, Voit, Odor, Glaber, Sanchez, Ford, Andujar, Wade. My goodness, I was not confident in that lineup. Odor, batting cleanup, you know. Ford, well, okay, I shouldn't make fun of Ford and Andujar, because they have been hitting lately. And so is Sanchez, actually. So, I don't know. It didn't inspire a lot of confidence. And, you know, for the first 6 innings, it didn't do anything to inspire confidence. And then the 7th inning happened. So, again, hopefully they'll pick things up against the White Sox this weekend. That's a big series. The White Sox are a good team. And as I said earlier in the show, they've been embroiled in some controversy. Also, having to do with that Yermín Mercedes incident, after La Russa threw his player under the bus, Tim Anderson, Mercedes' teammate, backed him up on Instagram. Other guys backed him up as well. And, you know, there may be some dissension there in the ranks, you know? Like, I don't know. I think most people were questioning the White Sox when they hired Tony La Russa because, I mean, no offense, but he's old and out of touch, as CeCe said, and the game is changing and he's not adapting to those changes. And it's becoming a disaster, and it might get worse for the White Sox. No offense to them, but maybe it'll get worse this weekend and it'll cause them to lose some games against the Yankees. By the way, while I'm waiting for Baseball Savant to load, because I would like to look at Domingo Germán's pitches, would anyone else like for the Nationals to not do well for the next couple of months and in some magical way have the Yankees somehow get Max Scherzer for a playoff run? That would be a Yankees move of like 20 years ago when they used to go out during the trade deadline and pick someone up and you think, oh my God, did they really get that guy? Yeah, I would like that. That'd be great. Okay, so let's look at Baseball Savant. Let's do what we normally do. Now, Herman, 17 swings and misses. Dane Dunning only had 5. Aroldis Chapman had the top pitch velocity all 5 times, ranging from 100 on the dot to 101.7. Mike Ford hit a ball 413 feet. Brett Gardner also hit a ball pretty far, 398. That was one of the balls that made it to the warning track. And the hardest hit ball, Adolis Garcia. And I was talking to Bryce, our Locked On Rangers host, while the game was on. We were in locker room together, by the way, again tonight, 7 p.m., and he was telling me how much everyone should love Adolis Garcia because he's so good. And he said, who knows, maybe he'll become a Yankee at some point. And I said, hey, it seems like the Rangers are becoming the Yankees farm team, because Ken Rosenthal came out last night and said that the Yankees are in the running or looking at possibly getting Delino DeShields. So maybe because their outfielders are dropping like flies. Now Ryan Lamar, who just came up, is out. He's on the 10-day IL. He hurt his leg. Clint Frazier's still out with his hurt neck. It's just a mess. And Stanton with his leg, he's on the IL. So yeah, it's just not great. Oh, and there's a rumor that Hicks is going to get the surgery and he'll be out for months. Yeah. That saying, you can never have enough pitching. For the Yankees, it's you can never have enough outfielders because none of them can ever play an entire season unless they're Brett Gardner. He's usually pretty healthy. And I hope I didn't just jinx him. Dear God. Anyway, okay, let's look at Domingo Herman. So he pitched 87 pitches in 7 innings. That's a good outing. 26 changeups, 25 curveballs, 24 seam fastballs, 16 sinkers. So that's a nice mix of pitches. Throwing a lot of changeups. As I keep saying, the Yankees keep preaching that to their pitchers who have good changeups, and it's working. So he got 13 swings, 3 whiffs on that changeup. 8 swings, 3 whiffs on the curveball, 11 swings, 7 whiffs on the four-seamer, and 14 swings, 4 whiffs on the sinker. Now, he wasn't throwing the ball particularly high. His four-seamer, let's see, his high was 94.5, his low was 89.5, so he averaged 92.8. The changeup was hovering around 85 miles an hour most of the time. His high was 88.9. His sinker had a higher velocity at 95.7. That was the max, and it averaged at 93.8, so a full mile per hour over his four-seam fastball. So, again, good outing for him. Chad Green came in. He pitched, let's see, he threw 13 pitches, 9 four-seamers, 4 curveballs. And Aroldis Chapman came in, threw 13 four-seam fastballs. Why not? I mean, you know, if he's throwing over 100 miles an hour, why not? 2 sinkers, 1 splitter, 1 slider. So Aroldis Chapman is still, I guess he's still perfect for the season. In a moment, we'll preview the pitching matchups against the White Sox, if they're available, because sometimes I'll go onto Yankees.com and they're not there. But first, let's talk about Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited-time flavor? I believe the limited-time flavor right now is birthday cake. That one's back, and I told you all a few weeks ago, it is fantastic. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, like me, they're passionate about their faves, like me, mint brownie. Get it. It's fantastic. The other flavors, coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. So there's something for everyone. Now, if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box and you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. I suggest that. Those are the good boxes. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein and only 130 calories. Others have 18 grams of protein and just 180 calories. So go to BuiltBar.com, use our promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. So again, get that mixed box. I highly recommend that because then you can try everything and see what you like. Again, use our promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So tonight's matchup is Carlos Rodon against Jordan Montgomery. Rodon threw one of the many no-hitters this season so far. Jordan Montgomery has not thrown a no-hitter yet. You never know. I mean, honestly, at this point. So let's look at their information. So after five starts and five decisive victories, Rodon lost for the first time in 2021 during his last trip to the mound. That was last Saturday against the Royals. He has 49 strikeouts against 12 walks in 36 and two-third innings this season. So he's 5-1 with a 1.47 ERA. So let's go through it. Let's see who has faced him the most. Brett Gardner and Rugi Odor have each faced him eight times. Odor is batting 500. Brett Gardner is batting 250. The rest of the Yankees have faced him four or five times. Luke Voit has faced him six times. He's only batting 167. Gio Urshela, 200. Let's see. Miguel Andujar has faced him four times and is batting 500. As for Jordan Montgomery, he struggled against the Orioles. That was the infamous being up by four and then being up 5-2 and still losing game. He only lasted three innings. He allowed those five runs, his shortest outing of the season and the most runs allowed. Before that, he had put together two consecutive quality starts to begin the month. So hopefully he'll end the month on a better note. Overall, he's 2-1 with a 4.75 ERA and 41 strikeouts. So, batters against him, only Jose Abreu, Tim Anderson, and Billy Hamilton have faced him. Abreu and Anderson have six at-bats each, and they're batting .333. Hamilton has faced him three times, has not gotten a hit. Now, Saturday's game is an afternoon game, starts at 1:05 Eastern in Yankee Stadium. Dylan Cease against Gerrit Cole. Cease has never pitched at Yankee Stadium or faced the Yankees. He actually only has two career starts against the American League East. He has fanned 50 batters over 41 innings in 2021. This is a bad sign. The Yankees don't do well when they face someone they haven't looked at ever. So tomorrow might be one of those annoying games where the Yankees barely score. Hopefully Cole will bounce back from that very uncharacteristic start that he made on Monday against the Rangers. If you don't remember, but you should, he allowed five runs in five innings. It was his second loss of the year. It was his shortest outing and the most runs he allowed all season. So hopefully he will look to prove that that was just an aberration and he'll be back to Gerrit Cole. Overall, he is 85 strikeouts and five walks. So he's doing very well this year. It was just a blip. He should be fine. And then in the series finale on Sunday, another afternoon game at 1:05 p.m., Dallas Keuchel against Jameson Taillon. The White Sox have scored 13 runs and 16 runs in each of Keuchel's last two starts. He obviously won both those games. Keuchel is 3-2 with a 2.45 ERA over five career starts at Yankee Stadium. The person who's faced him the most on the Yankees is actually Rugi Odor. He's faced him 24 times. He's batting 125 in those 24 times with a lone RBI. Jameson Taillon is looking to find his footing in the early going, according to MLB.com. He's compiled a 5.73 ERA in eight starts this season, with 46 strikeouts against 10 walks. Now, that's not a bad ratio, but it could be better. His problem, again, is having that one bad inning. So he's faced the White Sox only once in his career, which is something I keep saying every time he's facing someone in the American League. He went 5 2/3 innings in a no decision back in 2018. The person who's faced him the most is Billy Hamilton, because he faced him when Taillon was on the Pirates and he was, I think, on the Reds. Does that make sense to everyone? He was on the Reds, right? He's the fast guy from the Reds. Anyway, 30 at-bats, two home runs, six runs batted in. He's batting .300 overall. And I guess that's a familiarity thing. Is that the word? My brain's not working. I don't have AC on, and it's hot in here. Anyway, no one else has really faced him that much, so it's not even worth running off the numbers. Billy Hamilton is the most with 30 at-bats. So it should be an interesting series. The White Sox are a good team, and they can go off and score a lot of runs if your pitching is not up to par. So we'll see what happens this weekend. Could be questionable with Montgomery and Taillon. Hopefully not with Cole. A reminder again tonight, locker room, a watch party. We'll be watching the Yankees take on the White Sox. We'll be watching to see if Jordan Montgomery can bounce back from his last outing and if the Yankees can solve Carlos Rodon. Because the Royals did, maybe the Yankees can. So for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Today. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We'd really appreciate it. Enjoy your Friday, enjoy the weekend, and I'll talk to you all on Monday. We'll be right back.